America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
8:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Seems like it's getting lighter, a little later now. No, it looks like it's just still, it hadn't really kicked in out there. Unless that's just a weird sun today. So, Ed Reed was watching the Ravens against the Buccaneers with the Mannings. And Ed Reed, towards the end of the game, had something to say about the Ravens closing out. And I guess the Ravens didn't take, you know, kindly to that. And Jeremy, I pushed back against it a little bit as well, because the Ravens were not, they didn't look a championship team after 7 weeks when Ed Reed was playing.
Yeah.
This is what Reed had to say.
Ed, your Ravens are giving up some easy touchdowns here. I need a little pep talk from you, buddy.
Game over in their mind. They don't understand the other side of finishing and being a championship team right now.
Now, you know, again,
he ain't wrong.
No, but again, Jeremy, you shouldn't. I mean, most teams don't in week seven. The championship you build to.
But
if you're peaking now, and again, as we went through the Ravens schedule from 2012, they finished out the season losing 3 out of 4. So did they know how to finish at the time?
But this has been a thing under Harbaugh that we've talked about, though. Blowing double-digit leads, not finishing games. And I know we're focusing on this team. A lot of the same pieces, not all of them.
Right.
But I think the same thing applies when you look at how they finished the Dallas game, how they finished the Raiders game, how they finished the Bucs game. It's almost like, yeah, we got this one, and then we're okay with it. I understand what he's saying. And Kyle Van Noy kind of agreed with him, didn't he?
This is what Kyle Van Noy had to say.
We got to figure that out. If we're trying to be a championship team, we got to cut it out. I saw the comments of Ed Reed, and he's right. You know, if we're trying to win a championship, we got to cut that out at the end of the game. And that's the difference between a good team and a great team. And we're not there yet, and that's the beauty of it. We're going to continue to work. We're going to continue to get better. There was a lot of great things in this game. But we got to cut it out at the end of the games. We are better than that, and we'll figure it out.
That's the courtesy of the Van Noy and McCoy podcast, and Jeremy, you didn't hear our comments the other day because you were playing slick. But
I was playing slick?
Playing slick.
I'm bleeding out my booty hole. What do you want me to do?
You shouldn't do what you had to do to get to that point.
I don't like to play sick like that.
Again, no one's saying that the Ravens right now are that team, man. But I think Van Noy said it best. You're better than that, and you're building towards that. This is October. To say that you're not – who's at championship level right now?
Well, you have to include the Chiefs, I guess, because they're undefeated.
But really? Jeremy, you think they're not championship level?
They just got the ghost of DeAndre Hopkins. I still think there's something left in that tank, Randy Moss going to – I think you're going to see inspired football by Hopkins, but he's not the same player he once was, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything from the Chiefs that makes me go, that's a team we got to fear, except for the fact that you've seen Pat Mahomes do this year after year.
Like you said, you
almost said twice this year.
Don't be results-oriented. If you want to be results-oriented, they're 6-0.
Yeah.
But
there's something off.
I haven't seen anybody that looks like they're championship-ready. It's late October. I think they'll get there. I do. I think there'll be some changes. I do. I don't know whether it's the roster. I don't know what it is. But, you know, to me, I love Ed Reed, but that was cherry picking.
Yeah. Well,
I
mean, it was a great question. Who asked that question? It was beautiful. Like, the way it was designed, best question ever. It was a great question.
American question.
Okay. Very American. No, but, you know, I don't have a problem with it. Ed Reed's always been Ed Reed. He's going to answer things how he sees it.
Yeah.
He's not going to care that... Oh, man, I can't believe he said that. He's effing Ed Reed.
He's the guy, if you don't like the answer, don't ask him a question.
When the guy that's considered one of the greatest coaches of all time respects the hell out of him and gushes over him every time he talks, and Bill Belichick, you pay that man some respect.
You're making me repeat what I said when you weren't here. I said, however, if Ed Reed were to come in the locker room to give me some advice, whether I agree with him or not, I'd listen. Because it's Ed Reed.
Well, I wasn't here to hear it because exactly. I was bleeding out my booty hole. Yeah, what do you want?
Well, you know, that's personal.
I don't like talking about TMI. It, but it happened.
You don't like talking about it? You said it five times.
Yeah, because you said I was playing sick. Ain't no, nobody wants, what'd you say?
I said you were playing slick.
Slick.
You said slick?
Slick. Mm-hmm, slick.
I'm still bleeding.
I said you called out slick. We haven't seen the doctor's note yet.
I sent it. I seen it, and then I sent it.
With pictures and all.
Well, based on the history of the Ravens under Harbaugh, Ed, do you think this team will ever get to the point where they know how to close out? Because we saw them win a Super Bowl, which it looked like they didn't know how to close out.
Yeah, I think you're going to see an improvement. I think, look, if I'm going to look at this from a stand back and be really objective, this is a really talented team, probably the best team in the NFL this year.
The last two years.
This is a big flaw that could cost you a championship. If they don't tune this up and tighten this up, then shame on them. But this has got to be fixed because you know, they're great right now. They're 5-2. They're looking really good. But I'm telling you, as the season goes on, you can't do this in January.
But, Jeremy, again, this team has never under John Harbaugh know how to close. Let's go back to that Super Bowl where they beat the 49ers. You know, they were a pass interference call away from losing that game.
If that ref could have found his flag, I think he's still looking for it. Because that was Smith? Pass interference or holding. I mean, I think it may have been more in line with holding. I don't remember if the ball was in the air when the contact was made.
Something happened.
It was definitely made in the end zone. Whoops.
So even that game, they had problems closing. They had a big lead in that game. Now, we attribute it to the lights going out and the momentum stopping, but the lights haven't gone out these other games this past decade.
They've been the Craig Kimbrell of football?
Ooh.
They've had trouble closing. Ooh. We had a bad experience. Yeah. The worst part is when you lose to an unbelievably inferior opponent.
Raiders.
Yes. You watch that team now and you're going, how did you lose? They just called Desmond Ridder. They said, we're in trouble. We don't have a quarterback. Let's call Desmond Ridder.
Surprise.
You still don't have a quarterback.
And you call Desmond Ridder.
I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And honestly, I think there's a bunch of teams that have a chance. I just sent you guys a picture that the Steelers are contacting the Rams about Cooper Kupp because it was rumored that Cooper Kupp was going to go to the Chiefs. I think Cooper Kupp should have gone to the Bills. Then they would have had two Coopers, one Kupp.
Oh,
no, it's not working for anyone. All right. I tried.
You see how you sent this? I was just, when I saw it, I was about to say, Jeremy, do you know the Steelers? And I looked at it, I was like, oh, that's from Jeremy. I was about to say, because it's Cooper Kupp. Jeremy, did you know your boy is about, and I thought, I better not say that because that's from Jeremy.
By the way, they're the one team that I don't think we've talked enough about, the Steelers.
We don't take them serious.
We don't, but I think maybe their defense can make things serious. I think their defense is, oh, okay. All right. I won't do play-by-play. I'm out.
You didn't like my hand gesture? Mike Lossley joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Cohn.
Yeah, we're going to get into a couple different stories. Some interesting stuff that's happened. How about a man that was hit for a $1,000 fine?
Why?
Because there was a smell coming out of his apartment that they said smelled like animal waste. Turns out, it was a really bad fart. We're also going to talk about a German pizza place that changed the game. They got busted for selling a special pizza that came with a side of cocaine. And we're also hopefully going to hear from a woman that slept with 101 people in one day. This is, and she's proud of it because she did this before and she said she wanted to go for a bigger number. We'll hear from that. I'll hear from that woman. I got a couple other sports-related things I might throw at you coming up next in the World of Stupid.
The Big Bad Morning Show presents Jeremy Cohn in a world of stupid. 105.7 The Fan.
It's a me. You guys like pizza?
It's a video I sent.
Yeah, you did. That was good. German police busted a pizzeria in the western city of Dusseldorf that also delivered a side order of cocaine when customers asked for item number 40 on the menu. That was one of the best-selling pizzas, an official told a reporter in Dusseldorf. No kidding, man.
No kidding.
Number 40. Now, when you get this, he said police were first tipped off by suspicious food inspectors in March. When the drug squad officers began observing the restaurant, they soon discovered why pizza number 40 was so popular. They were told by reporters on Monday that this is what was going on when they were talking about it. When police buzzed the apartment of the pizzeria manager, the 36-year-old allegedly threw a bag of drugs out the window, which fell right into the arms of the police officers standing below. Dusseldorf police said the bounty included 1.6 kilograms, that's 3.5 pounds of cocaine, 400 grams, that's 14.1 ounces of cannabis, and 268,000 euros, which is almost $300,000 in cash. Wow. What do you think about, like, I guess this stuff has gone on before where you, like, you're putting in a secret code to get something and you order it. I think this has gone on at plenty of places where they're actually selling drugs.
Has.
I think it's gone on in a couple of restaurants around. I don't even mention any names of things that I know. But
so. One of the biggest cases in my history, in New York City history, actually, I think you've seen it because it's been in a lot of the documentaries, smuggling heroin in pizza boxes.
Oh, yeah.
The pizza case. I remember when that got taken down in like 86 or something like that.
That's just rough. I couldn't, like, how do you find out about that? And how do you not, how does it not get out to where everybody
you find
knows?
Out about it and you don't go anymore? And I'm sure you know that. You know, if you have any wits about you whatsoever, you know what's a front. You know it. I mean, your businesses, they're not there all the time. The hours are shady. They're supposed to open at 11, but sometimes they open at 4. Yeah. You know?
Or you walk in a bodega and, like, they got a box of Tide that's faded from the sun because it's been out for 10, 15 years. Nobody's bought it.
Yeah.
And all the things, like, the shelves are basically bare. I'm like, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
How about this story? Man was hit with a $1,000 fine because his landlord is upset. He's raising a stink. You get it?
Yeah.
Over the city fining him for a foul odor in his Bronx building, which he claims is just a fart complaint. John Crotty, co-owner of the East 147th Street Housing Development Fund Corporation, got socked with a $1,000 summons from the Department of Health and a mental hygiene for the stink, which an inspector defied as animal waste. So he thought it was like, you know, some animal was in there just crapping, and it obviously it adds up, and then that smell gets out. Or maybe an animal died, and then, you know. The nuisance condition exists in that a foul odor resembling animal waste was detected at the bottom of the stairwell located at the lower level, front exterior of the premises. Inspector Eric Hahn of the 21-unit apartment building of 539 East, why does it have to be this wordy, 147th Street, minimum penalty is $1,000, and he said it's totally outrageous, there's no animal waste in this building, I farted, that was it, I'm getting a fine for crop dusting the building, is basically what he's saying. It must have been,
a doozy.
I was wondering, it doesn't say R long. I don't know if it was tagged on the side of the building. Maybe that's where the smell came from.
He left a new one, by the way, on 83. There's a new R Long on 83 South.
If it's R Long, it's not me.
You know what? The other part of this, too, is he does the awful thing of making us crop dust ourselves because he's right by the door to get out.
Yeah.
So when we get out to get a drink, go to the bathroom, whatever, you walk right through it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a stench that stays behind him the entire time.
It's like smoking a cigar.
You are a modern-day Pepe Le Pew.
You know, funny you say that.
What happened?
This morning when you were in the studio, you were in the bathroom, I saw this iPad sitting here. I assume somebody left it because it was on right on my side.
Oh, the one I unplugged?
Yes.
Oh. I didn't unplug it.
Anyway, I pick it up. I thought maybe there'd be some indication on the screen. I'm like, wow, this thing smells like cigars. Now I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I you use on my... porch when
yes, you must because I get it's seeped into the case. Mm. But it's so funny you say that. First thing I said, cigars. Huh. That makes sense.
Well, let me get to this last story because I told a story about a woman that was trying to sleep with as many guys as she could throughout the course of the year. This Australian girl.
You shouldn't have a hard time doing that.
No. Well, now this person has one-upped it. She slept with 101 men in just 14 hours. Now, I'm going to play you some audio so you can hear her talking about it.
What a gal.
So, yesterday, I got ran through by 101 guys.
She's a one run through?
Don't mind
run
this. Through. Someone actually bit my lip.
You got mudded.
But last night, I didn't end up having a shower. Well, I didn't wash my hair in the shower just because I was too tired. But I want to show you guys the aftermath of what it's like to get run through by that many guys
run through.
In one day.
Going for Arby's.
I feel like I've been hit by a bus. I am so achy. It went on for how many hours? We went till like, we went from 9 a.m. till about 11 p.m. I think it was.
How many guys?
101. Now, can I ask a question? And I was asking Joe this.
Before you go there.
Okay.
I heard being the second guy is not good. What if you're the 101st guy?
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm going. It's like, I asked Joe, I said, if you know the order before you go, what kind of a creep do you have to be to get 99 and go, I'm good. I ain't going in there after that. What the hell? Ed's like, I don't care what number I get.
It had to be randomized.
It's a guy every 8 minutes.
Ed's trading paperwork. He's trading with somebody and going, I'll take the 101.
And wait a minute. If it's a guy every 8 minutes, that's why she said ran through. They had to quickly.
We're moving, man.
Quickly.
Mm. Well, and
hey, keep it moving.
I watched the entire 2.5 minute TikTok Well, no, she did record all of it. Yeah, so, I mean, it's probably on OnlyFans somewhere.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, because, I mean, she had cameras set up in the room. Jeremy saw the video but couldn't see the audio of what she was talking about. But, like, she had release forms for all of them. They were all tested. She like did a part of it like halfway through where the room is like halfway destroyed. The part where she says, don't mind that thing on my lip, it's because someone bit her and it looks like it's herpes, but you're not gonna get that in 8 hours afterwards. It's not gonna flare up that quickly. I mean the one thing is the comments are all these people are like, oh, that's disgusting. If there was some dude that had sex with 101 women in 24 hours, you know, everybody would be high-fiving and fist bumping him.
I don't think you can you? What do you got to get to keep the yang up for that long?
I don't know. Hymns? I don't know. Blue Chew?
You see the bedroom after?
Hmm. Maybe that's the room where they had the foul smell. Maybe it wasn't a fart. Oh, my God. Look at that. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, Rob.
Condom wrappers?
Yes, they are.
Rob.
Yeah, she had a big bag of, like, a huge Ziploc bag of condoms.
So they laid in the condom wrappers. That's staged.
I'm sorry, Rob. We lost Ed for the day.
We lost
rabbit
him.
Hole. He's gone.
There is a part of the video where it shows like the feet of like all the men standing in the quote unquote waiting room.
I thought Ed was.
There's like 15 dudes waiting in the room, so it's kind of like number seven. Oh, that's
Who
me. Sorry.
Signs up? What dude signs up for that?
I know a guy that would. I know a guy that has. So, and he didn't care about going last or going whenever. He's like, I'm just here for the fun. How is that fun? I hope you're listening too. He's probably listening. I'm probably getting a text in a minute. It's like, don't you tell my
this
story.
This the one right here?
Oh,
it's another
one. No, so I'm going to tell this story and nobody knows
it. Okay,
so
you got a minute.
The story goes that a buddy of mine got called to a central gangbang, mm-hmm. okay? And he gets there, and there's a really hot woman and a really ugly, like, chubbier broad. And she's there with her old-ass husband, who apparently likes to watch, mm-hmm. as I'm doing
a
air quotes.
He's a cop.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the definition.
So he goes there, and he gets in line, and he's like, look, he's kind of like fifth or sixth in line here, and he didn't want to wait anymore. They traveled through a snowstorm. So he jumped over on old gal and went to town. And he was so proud of himself when he told the story.
Yes.
It makes me laugh. And I'm like, you're a disgusting pig. But I still love this guy. He's the best.
Mike Locksley joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, Yankees, Dodgers. Man, they put these teams together well. Literally. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
The Fan. 8:33 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. We were talking, I think it was Monday, Jeremy, about how the Yankees and the Dodgers were put together. You go around that diamond and so many of those guys were acquired, not via draft, but some other way.
Yeah.
The Yankees, 18% of their roster required via draft. 19.5% of their roster acquired via trade. Free agent, 6.3%. International, 1.3%. The Dodgers, they're even worse. 5.2% of their roster is draft. 1.4% international. 13% trade. 25% of their roster, a quarter of it, free agency. So when you combine it, trade and free agency, 38% of their roster is either trade or free agent.
Feels like it's more than that, right? Like, are those, do the numbers add up to 100%?
I'm sorry. That's the war. I'm sorry. I jacked it up. These are the war to players. Okay, I'm sorry.
I got you.
That's the war to players.
See, and
so the most productivity they have, thank you very much, Joe.
Yes,
is through war. So their war, 25% 25 war is through free agency.
And just think about how much that adds up. Like, I think most of their rosters, when you speak about the two, a lot of the homegrown talent is probably in the bullpen. You know, the guys you drafted, the draft picks you turn, some of the guys you're signing. I'm not saying either team doesn't have homegrown talent. We've talked about Will Smith, Gavin Lux. Max Muncy's not even homegrown talent. That might be the only two guys on their team that's homegrown.
But Ed, how great is your drafting? Is 5.2 of your WAR is just the guys that you drafted?
Yeah, I mean, all in the international doesn't add much. It's still, you know, only gets you up to 6. Yeah, I mean, that's the best part of your team is your free agency.
See,
yeah, that like, far and away, the WAR, especially on the Dodgers, it's you know, 25. It's stark.
All this shows you is the fact that it's an unfair playing field in Major League Baseball. Because you don't have to be good at drafting. You don't have to be good at keeping your own. Mm-hmm. You can go out and spend whatever you want on whoever you want. And look, I'm tired of the guys going, well, you guys can do it too. Shut up. It's not a level playing field. They can't.
It's not
the same. Like, just having a...
That's like a guy driving right now a high-level Benz down the street, looking at me and saying, well, you can get one too. You know what? I can, but I can't keep it up. That's the difference. Yeah, you can get one. You can get
isolate that.
Orioles can go out and get all the guys that they want to get. But how are you going to pay them year two and year three? How are you going to pay them and pay the guys that you drafted? You can't do it.
You can't do it. And the fact is, with the Mercedes comparison, yeah, you can buy it, but then you can't pay your mortgage.
Exactly. Or if something happens to it, you can't get it fixed.
Right.
Because you realize that it costs $300 to get the oil change. Mm-hmm. And I'm exaggerating to think on that, but nonetheless.
Well, and again, like, you go back to having a billionaire owner. How do you become a billionaire? By making good business decisions, right? Or being a little lucky, however you want to put it. But just because you have a billionaire owner doesn't mean he's just going to go spend frivolously and lose money and try. Yeah. Like, they're going to run their business the way they see fit. And I do agree. There are cheap owners in Major League Baseball. Look no further than Oakland. And we've talked about what Cleveland deals with. But again, fans showing up and all these things mm-hmm. that happen. Like, you don't have to be a team that's really great at drafting.
Right.
Or
right.
Do. I mean, it's just sad. It's sad that you can just spend money and make it into the playoffs, and then let the chips fall where they may.
And by the way, that war for free agents for the Dodgers of 25, Shohei's was 9.
Jesus.
Oh, boy.
And that's without pitching, or do they factor that in last
I'm almost
year?
Afraid to give numbers now because I jacked up the beginning of the segment. But I'm pretty sure Shohei's is 9. Yeah.
Judge is 10 of the Yankees draft.
Judge.
See?
Wow. So.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You think about their homegrown talent. What do you got? Volpe, Aaron Judge. Yep. Austin Wells behind the plate. Everywhere else.
No. They have an infielder, don't they?
Volpe.
No, someone else.
Oswaldo Cabrera, but he's not an everyday player. Gleyber Torres came from the Cubs.
Torres. He's Cubs. Okay.
He's a trade right. from the Cubs.
I was thinking about Torres. He came from Cubs.
Because that's where they got Aroldis Chapman?
He just had his comeuppance with the Yankees?
Yeah. Basically, I mean,
minor leaguer.
Correct.
He get his come,
correct.
Okay.
He got traded, and then they brought him up, and then he's been up since.
All right, so that's why I thought he was a Yankee. I never saw him in the majors before then. Is this the – you can't really say this is the way to build. Okay, Ed, if this is the way you got to build, then it's going to be Yankees, Dodgers, Mets. Of course, you'd love that. And teams like that for the next 10 years again.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It really kind of when I got that, you know, that stat from you this morning or whatever came across the phone, I'm like, well, that sucks. Because it really does. I mean, just looking at that, it's like, yeah, this is exactly what people have been complaining about for years. And they're doing exactly that. It's like, you know. I give Mets, I believe the Mets have, you know, Alonso and Nimmo and stuff, and McNeely were homegrown.
For now.
You know? Well, I mean, they were homegrown, yes. Well, they're going to get Soto. So, I keep telling myself that anyway.
I hate you. I mean, you're probably just, right.
It is such a, I hate this. I hate the fact that you get to sit here and people go, what if it's your team, you wouldn't complain? Yes, but I could look at it and go, hey, I'm happy this is the way it is. But it isn't right. Fair to the other teams.
It's not right. You know, right now, we just say it's not right. If it was ours, we'd say it's not right, but it's okay.
Yeah. You know, start singing now?
Oh, that is a song. I didn't even think about that when I said it. A little Whitney Houston there. Good pickup. Yeah. Good pickup. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fam. What was the percentage of songs of hers you listened to? I'm just joking because I opened up with percentage when it was war. What a freaking idiot. And I'm like, Jeremy, I'm not high.
I'm not high anymore.
That's okay. All right. We'll leave you alone. Coach Lockley joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Stefanski has given up play calling duties and his team is 1-6. How can a coach of the year, a guy who's kind of like a coach of the year, be this bad right now, Jeremy? And also, Ed, is this like taking a big, we suck, let me take a big step back and blame it on the other guy as the ship continues to sink? Feels like that a little bit.
It's kind of what they do.
We're going to talk Browns up next on The Fan.
Yeah, I'm just always looking at what we can do to just be a little bit better. And truth is, we have to be better on offense. And Coach Dorsch is somebody that I rely on very heavily. And I just feel like this is the right thing for the team.
The song says it was all good just a week ago. No one. They were 1-5 a week ago. It was bad then, too. Bad then, too. Kevin Stefanski on why he is allowing Ken Dorsey to call the plays. And I said it before, I feel like now that it's this bad, let me let this other guy take over and maybe someone's memory will make it seem as if he's the problem the whole time.
Well, easy to point to, you know. Especially if you give them the responsibility. I mean, they got nothing. They got no quarterback there. I don't know what they're going to do. But it is kind of funny that he's, you know, being so gracious.
Damn.
I'm going to let you call the plays. Because I have so much faith in you.
Well, I mean, look, Ken Dorsey was once an offensive coordinator there. By, we were talking about him in Buffalo, right? For the longest period of time, being a popular guy,
effective guy.
Yeah. And then again, when things start to go awry, it's always blamed on one of the coordinators, fair or unfair, or.
Well, the hitting coach in baseball.
Gotta go. These guys
aren't
hitting.
Somebody's gotta go.
Did I tell you to swing at that pitch? No, but you look at the situation, there's some things that had to happen because I feel like Stefanski's now on the hot seat because of everything that's gone wrong.
Right.
And from my understanding and people I've talked to, he didn't want Deshaun Watson. That was ownership, and ownership was the one that was forcing him to play him.
I read that too. Yeah.
That ownership forced him to play him. Mm-hmm. So you're going to make him fall on a sword for giving him a bad
player? He wanted to keep Flacco also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they couldn't have that because then all that talk starts. Well, that guy,
he didn't want talk. He wanted to start Joe Flacco.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying the ownership doesn't want it there because it just makes it worse.
And that tells me the owner doesn't want to win.
Yeah.
That's what it tells me.
I mean, win.
You gotta pay him anyway because he's there. Joe Flacco's not trying to rob you. He's made his money. You know, hey, Joe, you want to start this year? Hey, help us out, you know, the salary cap situation. You mean Joe Flacco's not going to stay there? You know that he can start? He's made his money.
Of course he has.
You know, so it just, ownership doesn't want to win. And when you have owners like that, they can make coaches look bad. Bad owners and bad front offices can make coaches look bad. And managers.
Absolutely.
And managers.
Sure they can.
You micromanage me, you give me a bad product.
Look at the Cowboys.
Yeah, that coach is pretty bad too, though. So. That's the root of the fruit.
He's going to point to that one Super Bowl.
Aaron Rodgers won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where's this Browns team going, Jeremy?
Nowhere.
Number one overall draft pick?
I mean, that would be interesting. I don't know that they're the worst team in the league. I mean, we still have to look at
Carolina.
I thought Denver was going to be one of the worst teams. Their defense is playing well. Bo Nix hasn't looked good, in my opinion. No. But they've been winning games.
It's interesting, though. The worst teams we're talking about right now.
Patriots.
The two you just mentioned, the Browns, have like the worst front offices in football. Mm-hmm. Ownership's terrible. Front offices are terrible. And look what they got. Nothing. This way, I wish people would appreciate what you have in this town between DaCosta and
they
Elias.
They spend more time complaining about DaCosta. Yeah. And Elias, be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not like you said, not realizing what they have.
Could you look around? Every decision seems to be the wrong decision. They change coaches constantly. Can't find a quarterback. Get themselves in a contract now. The next 2 years with Deshaun Watson are staggering. So, that's where all his guaranteed money is. It's what is it? Blah, 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 blah. It's like $92,000 next 2 years. $92 million.
$92,000.
No, yeah. Buy them out now.
Yeah, right. $92 million next 2 years. It's staggering.
I don't think there's 92 million Browns fans that ask for $1 from each.
The problem is, we saw this before, the Cardinals, although it wasn't back-to-back years, they drafted Josh Rosen, and then they drafted Kyler Murray in back-to-back years. You talk about Carolina, they'll maybe 2 years, a year stagger, but they'll be drafted a quarterback.
The Jets, too. Look at
and the Jets.
The Jets from the Darnold to...
But Darnold was a few years ago, though.
But it was like 2 years, then 2 years. Like, they were giving these guys... I mean, you got to go...
Oh, yeah, Zach Wilson, I forgot.
Zach Wilson, yeah. Sam Darnold. Who's the other one? There was another... That doesn't matter. But, like, you're looking... Carolina took all the old Jets quarterbacks. Like, oh, you're done with him? Let us try him. There were even rumors that the Vikings were going to trade for... Matt Stafford. People are like, oh my God, they got Sam Darnold. And I'm going, it's the first time anyone's ever said that.
He's looking much better, though.
He does, but yeah. Like, I mean, it's,
if
don't
I
compare
could, if two. I could get Matt Stafford, if okay, if you want to look good and hold it down for the next guy, you keep Sam Darnold. If you really want to take a chance of winning it all this year, you trade for Matt Stafford.
Sam Darnold coming off the bench in case anything happens to Stafford, you'd feel pretty good about that. At first, I did the same thing you did, and I'm going, it's Sam Darnold. Stop.
Yeah. Stop it.
Stop it. It's just crazy talk.
You got a guy who has won a Super Bowl versus a guy who sees ghosts.
Well, a guy's going to be a Hall of Famer.
That drinks his ghosts.
Yeah. You know, sees ghosts. I can't unhear that. You know, if I'm his coach, every time I saw him, I'm like, dude, you saw what?
There is that.
The Browns, are they the most... We thought the Patriots would be bad. We thought the Panthers would be bad. Are the Browns the most disappointing team in the NFL this year?
No.
Who is?
The Jets.
For me, it's not.
I'd say the Jets. Yeah. I think you could say the 49ers right now. They've got so many injuries. I don't know what they're
doing. That's different. That's different.
Yeah.
Injuries is different.
Okay, but I'm just, you said disappointing because those things, you don't know when they're going to happen.
Well, I'd be disappointed if I was a 49er fan that they got inundated with injuries, but I'm not disappointed. They got good players.
They got a lot of good players getting hurt. Once they go down, this is what I expect. It's different. Okay, all these injuries, now I expect this. To me, the Jets aren't a disappointing team in the National Football League because I thought they were bad anyway.
Well, you had a quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. You also had the big trade you made in the offseason for a pass rusher. He doesn't show up. He's in Japan playing cosplay. You know, you can look at the Jets and see certain things and go, ugh, I don't like that. But again, to me, they would be the most disappointing they're on primetime television all the time.
And no offense, Ed, but come on, dude. The Jets, they find a way to...
Sounds offensive to me.
Why would that offend me?
They find a way to mess things up. I'm about to say something else other than mess. They find a way.
They do.
I don't believe they're going to do anything until they do something. I'm not disappointed.
I just think they're Jets. This is the first time they've had an incredible, they've drafted well, and they pick up Aaron Rodgers. I mean, look at who they drafted in the last couple of years. Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Sauce Gardner.
They're Jetsing.
But they're all they're good players. But I mean, the team sucks.
Our offensive coordinator, Eloy. Anyway,
there are three teams that I never believe in. Never. The Jets, the Chargers, and the Jaguars.
You got to throw the Clippers in there,
too. What were my opinions about those three teams going into the season? You're saying, oh, the Jaguars may do this. Nope, they're not. They're the Jaguars.
You don't know.
Yeah, didn't know. They're the Jaguars, dude. They're just... It is written.
They had the best record in the league last year until they got hurt.
Exactly. It is written.
So it's not disappointing because he got hurt. But then he was disappointing after he got hurt.
The suit?
No, all four players of Ravens.
Oh, yeah. Who's the MVP right now? Yeah, I saw that. Lamar Henry.
Yeah.
The panelists, Olasky, McCourty, Harry Douglas, and Greeny, all predicting who the NFL MVPs are. Greeny is the only one to pick Henry. Everybody else picked Lamar.
They're all purple, though.
There's one more. There's one more. Adam Schefter has not picked. Why has he not picked? Does he not get a pick? 410-583-1057. That's the number. Man, we're about to hit the 9 o'clock hour already?
Yep.
Yeah.
Shovels at 9:15, but on the other side, we talk to the coach, Coach Mike Locksley, University of Maryland Terps on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.